Okay, today's lesson is the power to meet needs. The background passage comes from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 71. And I really hope you read those because they have a lot of good information in them. Today, we're going to study the lesson passage, John 6, verses 5 through 11. Then verses 26 to 31, and then verses 47 to 51. The lesson today will reach several of you just where you're serving. So I think you'll really enjoy the lesson today. Our church, through the clothes closet and food pantry, are the hands and feet of Jesus, meeting the needs and of the people in this community. There are several ways the church comes together to provide this service. Some give by praying for the ministry. Some give through their donations to the ministry by giving financial support, food, and clothing. And some of you sacrifice your time and patience by coming here every Wednesday to serve the people and to tell them about the love of Jesus. Without all of these things coming together, it would not be possible for this ministry to take place. So each role is vital to God being able to meet needs. Honestly, I never had to worry about what I was going to eat when I was growing up. I didn't come from a wealthy family, but my grandfather was a farmer, and he taught his sons and daughters how to raise vegetables and slaughter hogs and cows and chickens. So though we were not rich with a lot of things, we always had plenty of food to eat. If I ever went to bed hungry, it was of my own choosing. As with most couples first starting out, the first years of married life were sometimes lean, but God always provided. So I confess, I sometimes take for granted God's provision of food and clothing for me and my family. In 2010, almost a billion people worldwide experienced hunger or food insecurity. That's unbelievable, isn't it? In our country that year, 48.8 million Americans struggled to put food on the table, affecting over 16 million children. What an opportunity for Christian ministry. No single believer or church can provide food for all the hungry people out there, but we can and we must help some of them. When we join together with other Christians, we can feed even more. Every time we give hungry people something to eat, we also open the door to sharing the gospel with them. Many of those hungry people need bread for their souls just as much as they need bread for their bodies. So turn with me to John chapter 6, and we will begin our study today by reading verses 5 through 7. John 6, 5 through 7. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." So all ministries begin with someone seeing someone else's need. In last week's lesson, Jesus saw the need of the sick man at the pool of Bethesda, and then he healed him. In the scripture today, Jesus saw a huge crowd coming toward him. So he asked Philip, where could they buy enough bread to feed so many people? And Jesus wasn't asking that question because he needed to know where the nearest grocery store was located or the nearest restaurant was. He was testing his disciple. In other words, he was sizing up Philip's ability to cope with a great ministry need with limited resources. As the all-powerful Savior, Jesus knew what he was going to do. So, what was Philip's response? First, Philip assessed the problem, as a lot of us might do. He calculated they would need 200 denarii in first century currency. Now, 200 denarii was equal to 3/4 of a common laborer's annual earnings. That was a lot of money. And that was just for each person to get a little bread. Even their hunger would not be satisfied. I've already shared the recent statistics that indicate some 50 million Americans live in food insecure households, affecting more than 16 million children. While our nation has taxpayer-funded government programs for assisting the hungry, those programs obviously do not and cannot feed all of America's hungry people. And no one person or church can feed all those people. But consider this, if every Christian and every church stepped up their efforts to feed the hungry, many people would be fed and nurtured. I'm sure that Lee and all you ladies that help her in the food pantry and clothes closet each Wednesday can tell how many witnessing opportunities would arise as desperate people were helped by their Christian neighbors and churches. So as Philip contemplated the desperate situation, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Andrew had found a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Both the boy's age and the small amount of food emphasize the scant resources available. Jesus wasn't bothered by the great needs and scarce resources. Again, he knew what he was going to do. Jesus had the people sit down. He intended to feed them. The exact location of the feeding is unclear, but most likely was somewhere near the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. This was a huge crowd of about 5,000 men, so we can see there was an overwhelming need for food. Jesus took the little boy's loaves and fish. He gave thanks and then began giving food to his disciples for distribution to the seated crowd. The boy and his small lunch played a significant role in feeding these people. Philip calculated how much food it would take to feed the entire crowd, but the result discouraged him. Andrew scoured the crowd until he found a boy with a few loaves of bread and fish, but even still he only saw what seemed impossible. Both disciples looked past their greatest resource, who was Jesus. How often do we do the same thing? How often, ladies, do the pantry shelves stay bare? On the third Sunday, which is today, we brought food to the church to donate to the food pantry to restock the shelves. But How long does it take for the shelves to be empty again? How often have you depended on Jesus to provide food when you thought there would be none? And to those who do not feel they can afford to participate, is it because we fail to believe that Jesus would also provide for us when we put the needs of others before our own? What about if the little boy had not wanted to share his lunch that day? Did this child believe that if he gave Jesus his lunch, he would not go hungry? Or do we not believe that even a small donation of food or even time would have a tremendous impact on someone's life? Are we maybe prejudiced toward people? Do we look at certain people and think they don't deserve to eat? Well, every opportunity to help someone in need is an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone. And just maybe they will accept his eternal food. So let's go on to 26 through 31 of chapter 6 of John. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So after they fed the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples left that place. And the crowd went looking for Jesus, and they found him on the other side of the sea, probably in Capernaum. Jesus used the occasion of their seeking him to tell them about eternal life. He began by confronting the people about their motivation for searching for him. The crowd failed to consider the deeper meaning of feeding 5,000 people. But Jesus' opportunity to feed the crowd resulted in his chance to share the gospel. He first took care of their physical need. The people were full, completely satisfied physically. Then he deliberately redirected their focus to their ultimate need, spiritual bread. Jesus accomplishes his work today through Christians who are willing to be his hands and feet. What witness do we have when we're not willing to help people with their physical needs? Jesus redirected their need from physical food to spiritual food. Moses used a similar tactic on the plains of Moab to remind the Israelites of the connection between God's provision of manna and the life-giving Word of God. I'm going to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and led you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Physical food satisfies for a while, but then we get hungry again. How much better to find food that lasts forever. In John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus told the Samaritan woman that whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. And in today's lesson, he tells the crowd in John 6, verse 27, do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life. Jesus was not suggesting that everlasting life could be secured through human effort. He was urging the crowd to seek spiritual bread with the same or even greater intensity than they had the physical bread. Only Jesus, the Son of Man, could give them eternal life. When God set His seal of approval on Jesus, He identified His Son as the source of the food that lasts forever. The crowd responded by asking what they could do to perform the works of God. Now we have to be careful here to hear Jesus' answer, or we will fall victim to a false theology that teaches that our works result in our salvation. Jesus clarified the issue in a very simple way. He defined the work of God as to believe in the one whom God had sent. Salvation is by God's grace, received by each individual through faith in Jesus. The verb believe comes from the Greek term meaning to entrust oneself. It is not merely believing intellectually, but rather surrendering oneself completely. The crowd asked for a sign of confirmation, a request for Jesus' credentials. Supposedly, they would believe if they could see Him do some miraculous work. Faith contingent on sight is a common theme in John's Gospel. If people could not work to achieve their own salvation, what work would Jesus do to enable them to believe in Him? Now keep in mind, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people in front of them, and they'd already forgotten. The crowd reminded Jesus that their ancestors ate the God-given manna in the wilderness, referring to Scripture in Exodus 16, verses 15 and 35, when God provided manna during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Whenever we feed hungry people, we need to remember that God is pleased with us for doing so. But we should never use ministry as a sneaky way to manipulate people. Jesus provided the perfect example for us. He fed the hungry crowd because that was their need at the time, and He had the power to meet their need. After feeding them, He had an opportunity to teach them about eternal life available through Him. Jesus seized an opportunity and shared the gospel. The joy of knowing we are like Christ is all the motivation we need to minister to people's needs. Again, all of you who work the food pantry and clothes closet, I'm sure you can testify that when you minister to people's physical needs, you will have ample opportunities to share the gospel. So let's go on to verses 47 to 51. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So there it is. Jesus told them in plain terms. Jesus identified himself as the bread of life, which touched off a firestorm of complaints in verses 41 and 42. So he sought to assure them that anyone who believed in him would have life everlasting. Jesus reminded the crowd that even though their fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, they died. He intended to curb their enthusiasm for thinking the manna God provided through Moses was in any way preferable to what God was making available to them in Jesus. Jesus emphasized that he was the bread that comes down from heaven. Unlike their fathers who ate the manna and died, the people gathered around Jesus had an opportunity to eat of the bread of life and live forever. Jesus patiently answered the people's complaints by saying, "I am the living bread from heaven." To eat the living bread was the same as believing in Jesus. Then Jesus began to tell him how he would give himself as the living bread. Living bread was a figure of speech for his flesh, and that is the body. Jesus would give himself on the cross for the life of the world. The writer of today's lesson told a very good story, and I want to share it with you. The writer again this week was Wayne Van Horn. He tells a story about witnessing to a homeless man years ago off Bourbon Street in New Orleans. He said he had memorized a witnessing plan and numerous Bible verses to help him witness to people. On this particular hot, sticky day, the pastor told the poor homeless man everything he knew about the gospel. When he asked the man the decision question he was taught to ask, the homeless man replied with a question of his own. "Mister, could you give me a couple of bucks to get something to eat?" The pastor said he felt horrible. He was so gung-ho to share the gospel. He had not even considered the man's physical hunger. Thoroughly humbled, the pastor took the man to a nearby vendor and bought him some food. Then he said they sat down on a Bourbon Street curb, and he watched the man wolf down the sandwich and fries. The man told him he'd not eat in 3 days. When the homeless man was done, he asked the pastor, "What are you doing in this part of the city?" The pastor responded by saying, "God brought me down here to teach me a lesson." The man seemed genuinely grateful for the lunch, and he did ask the pastor some questions about Jesus and what it means to be saved. The pastor got the opportunity to plant some gospel seeds that day, but only after meeting the physical need. So what is the lesson God taught the young pastor that day? People are not interested in a Lord who can save their souls until they know he has the power to meet their needs. Let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, how humbled we are by your teaching today. To see 5,000 hungry people through your eyes and then witness your power to feed them with just a few loaves of bread and fish. How many times have we read this story, and yet every time we do, it's new and fresh. Lord, with our human minds, we too often think like the disciple Philip and try to calculate our own abilities to meet other people's needs. Remind us that we all need, that all we need is Jesus and a willing heart. I pray, Lord, we will be bold witnesses and seize every opportunity to feed the hungry that you put in our path. Because through those opportunities, you're giving us opportunities to share the gospel in your name. Lord, I pray today our hearts will be humbled and we will rise up to answer the call to serve in your name. Lord, guide us. If you are calling us to the food pantry, to the clothes closet, to help with the sharing fund, wherever it may be, Lord, give us the strength and the knowledge to step forward. For you tell us in your word that when we feed even the least, your children, we feed you. Lord, may you be glorified and lifted high, for you alone are worthy. As we go now into worship, Father, clear our minds of things of this world that crowd out your Holy Spirit. Focus our thoughts on you alone. Be with Chris, Lisa, and Brother Derek as they guide us in worship today. Feed us your bread of life that endures to everlasting life. We do not need to see signs or miracles, Lord, because our faith holds firm in Jesus Christ. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.